We've come now to the end. Our last service, our last lesson, and the meeting is coming to a close rather shortly. I've really appreciated the presence of all, of every crowd, and we're so thankful for you that came back this afternoon, and maybe you're a new face in the crowd that hasn't been here yet. We're thankful for you too. And I hope and pray that what we have to consider for a little while this afternoon would be helpful and encouraging to you. I was asked to preach this sermon because it's something that affects everyone. As you can see on the screen, we're talking about things like anxiety, things like stress, things like worry. In fact, the book of Proverbs says this in Proverbs 12 and verse 25, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." For just a few minutes this afternoon, I want to try to give us a good word as we depart. Now, I think that there's three very important things on the last sermon of a meeting like this, especially after lunch. I think there's three things that are very important. Number one, keep it light. Number two, keep it interesting. And most importantly, number three, keep it short. I'm going to try to do all three of those. Lend me your ear for just a few minutes as we talk about Paul's antidote for anxiety. Our text is found, it's really my favorite passage in all the Bible. It's very practical and it works. It's Philippians chapter 4, and I want to begin reading there in verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If there were anyone in the world that had the right to be anxious, it would have been Paul. His beloved friends at Philippi were disagreeing with one another. There were preachers in Rome that were filled with envy and strife and out to get Paul. And to top it all off, Paul himself was under house arrest, awaiting trial and possibly even his own execution. And yet we've seen throughout this epistle the key note that's repeated again and again and again, and that is rejoice. Evidently, Paul found the secret of overcoming anxiety, and fortunately for us, he shared that secret with us. We're going to talk about those things, but first of all, let's take a closer look at the word anxiety and what it actually means. It actually comes from a word that literally means to be pulled in different directions. The word worry is a synonym, and it means to strangle. But back up about the directions for just a moment. Sometimes we have fears, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong to have fears because everybody has them. That's not the problem. The problem isn't fear. In fact, I'll just say this. The Bible tells us to be of courage and be courageous. There is no such thing as courage where there is no fear. Courage is your response to fear. So is being a coward. It's a person's response to fear. I wanted to say that about fear before I go any further, because now I want to say this. Sometimes our faith and our hopes pull us in one direction, and our fears pull us in the opposite direction. And because of that, you know what happens to us? We get anxious. We have anxiety. We literally feel like we're being pulled apart inside. That's exactly what that means. I will also say this, as it's normal to have fear, I think there's one of two people, and I do believe they're opposite. So ask yourself tonight, this afternoon, ask yourself this question. Am I faith-driven or am I fear-driven? It's one or the other. We can have fear, but we need to be faith-driven. I'm not saying to not be aware of things around us that we need to be concerned about. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I'm making a general statement. We need to be faith-driven and not be fear-driven. The word worry is a synonym for this word, and it literally means to strangle. And if you've ever been worried or stressed, you know that you literally feel like you're being strangled on the inside. It literally does that. In fact, worry, anxiety has different side effects. Physical side effects like headaches, neck pains, ulcers, even back pains. Worry affects our thinking. I'm told it affects our digestion and even our coordination. It raises the cortisol levels in our system, and it actually makes us lose weight, or actually makes us gain weight. Do you remember years ago, they had all those commercials about different supplements? By the way, we live in a world today, we want a pill to make it go away. We want something really quick. Sometimes it's a long process. You want to be in shape, you want to be healthy, it's a long process. You change your habits, you change your diet, you exercise, and all of that, okay? But we live in an immediately gratifying world. I want to be gratified now. I want it right now. I remember a few years ago, they had these supplements, and I don't remember what they were called, but the idea was it will lower cortisol levels in your system so that you can lose weight. Now, what is cortisol? I'm not an expert, but I do know this. It's where we get the fight or flight mechanism. It's when you're in danger and you get the burst of adrenaline to run free. You got some big dog chasing you down an alley. All of a sudden, you got this burst of adrenaline and you can get out of the way. Let me share something with you. A number of years ago, when I was in college on the rodeo team, I was riding bulls back then. And I remember one night I got on a bull. And really, he was hard to ride. And he was mean. All he wanted to do was throw you off. And he wanted to just hook you and beat you up. That's all he wanted to do. I got on him one night, and you know how you are when you're 19. Man, I was bulletproof. I was 10 feet tall. I got it, right? This bull two-jumped me and bucked me off right in front of his head, right outside the chute. He bucked me off in a mud puddle, and I'm laying on my back like this, and his head was right here. I turned around as quickly as I possibly could to get up on all fours, and I started to run. And I stepped on the tip of my shaps. By the way, it is shaps, it's not chaps. I had them custom made so they look good. You know how it is when you're young. Man, they had long fringes on the end. They had my initials down low. They were black with white fringe. I loved it. I was in style. And when you rode a bull and you went to spur him, they flapped in the air. It looked great. Not so good when you're running from something. They're really long. I got up and I went to scramble and I stepped on the tip of those shaps and I fell down head first like this and I looked back and he was right there. I'm going to tell you something. Those levels increased. I got a burst of adrenaline. I got up on all fours and I'm going to tell you for about 10 seconds I was the fastest man in the world. We need that. Fight or flight mechanism. You know what happens when you're stressed and you allow stress to take over and it doesn't go away? They stay up, and it leads to high blood pressure. I got a little of that. Leads to high blood pressure. Leads to other things, all other kind of side effects. But what is it from a spiritual perspective? What about a spiritual perspective about anxiety? From a spiritual perspective, it's wrong thinking and wrong feeling about circumstances, people, and things. It is the greatest thief of our joy. Now, we understand that, right? Because we say things. We got little sayings. Books are written. Remember that song? The most annoying song I've ever heard. Don't worry, be happy. You know, here's a little song I wrote. Might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Annoying song. We get that, right? Remember that book that was written? Don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I love that. That's great. That doesn't help. How do you do it? If we could do that, we'd just do it. It's kind of like the guy that comes up to you and says, if I went up to James, I said, James, you just don't worry about it. Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. That really helps. Don't worry about it. The question is how you do it. It's not enough for us to just tell ourselves to not be anxious. We have to do something about it. Anxiety is, as one man said, an inside job, and it takes more than good intentions to get the victory over anxiety. The antidote to anxiety, get this now, is revealed by Paul in our text, and we're going to look at it closely. Winning the victory over anxiety. First of all, we have absolutes. It's the right kind of praying, by the way. The absolute is don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Sometimes we pray about the big stuff, but we try to handle the little stuff all by ourselves. Do you know what happens when little stuff is left unattended?
When little stuff is left unattended, it becomes big stuff. And big stuff later. Have you ever seen something that was magnified over a period of time, started off really small, could have been dealt with and done away with, but left unattended, it becomes something big? What Paul is saying, here's absolutes. Don't worry about anything, but this is what you're going to do in return. Here's the flip side. Don't do that, but pray about everything. God wants us to go to Him in prayer about everything. But let's notice the word prayer for just a moment. Sometimes we use the word prayer in a general sense, and it's true. You can look at a definition of the word prayer, and it will say when you talk to God. Something that you're saying, a petition to God, all that's true. But this word prayer means more than that. This word prayer means praise, adoration, devotion, and worship. In other words, you come to God, please get this, very important. You go to God with the problem that you're having, with the anxiety that you're feeling. And you don't just start telling God what the problem is. You don't do that. We do that sometimes, right? We get desperate. Please, 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 please. I've done it. You know what Paul says? The antidote for anxiety is the right kind of praying. The first thing you're going to do when you pray, tell God how great He is. It's praise, adoration, devotion, and worship. It's a time of honor. It's about telling God how big He is and how great He is. Now, why do we do that? First and foremost, and this ought to be enough, He's worthy of all that. And may I also suggest this too? God is worthy of your praise, regardless of the circumstances in your life. When something bad happens in your life, praise Him. When something negative happens, praise Him. When you've prayed to Him and He said no, and by the way, sometimes God does say no. But the child of God that prays to God according to His will with that provision, God answers every prayer, but sometimes the answer's no. What are you going to do? Praise Him. Now, I think there's a secondary benefit. Look at this. This is great. This is practical stuff. You praise God. You tell God in your prayer when you address Him, first and foremost in that prayer, you start telling God how great He is. Praising Him. He deserves it. All that. But all of a sudden now, something else is about to happen. There's a secondary benefit. You just acknowledged that a problem that was bigger than you, you just told God how big He is, and now the problem that was insurmountable, you realize, memory jogger, you reminded that God is bigger than any problem you could ever have.
He's bigger than any problem. Sometimes we rush hastily to God in prayer with our needs. But freedom from anxiety comes when we spend more time on who God is rather than on what our problems are. You know, if you look at the life of Jonah when he was swallowed by the great fish.
Now I'm going to tell you something. I've been desperate before. Maybe you have too. I've been desperate. But I've never been sitting inside the stench of a fish. I have never done that. I've never been in the darkness of all that. I've never been in anything like that. If anyone had the right to pray a desperate prayer, please, I'm sorry, spit me out, it would have been Jonah. But read the second chapter sometime of the book of Jonah. It reads like a prayer of praise and like a psalm. He's telling God how wonderful He is. And finally, with determined resolve, Jonah says, I'll do it. And the Bible says that God speaks to the great fish and He spat Jonah out on dry ground. And I like what Linwood Smith used to preach. He hit the beach ready to preach. Mindset was better, right? Now we know about later on in the story, but mindset was better. He spent time telling God how great He was. So instead of being desperate with our plea to start our prayers, let's pour our heart out how great God is. And you know what? He's deserving. He's worthy of all that. Secondary benefit, we're reminded He's bigger than any problem we'll ever have.
Powerful stuff. All right, but then there's number two. You start with that, prayer. Adoration, devotion, praise, and worship. Then the second part, supplication. That's the earnest sharing of our problems and needs. God wants us to come to Him and talk to Him and ask Him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's kind of like an unclaimed promise is like an uncashed check. God wants us to ask Him. You know, there's nothing about me that God does not know. You know what's amazing to me? What's amazing to me is how awesome God is, how great God is, how powerful He is, how all-knowing He is. He knows everything, and yet He wants me to ask Him and pour my heart out to Him too, as His child. After I spent time telling Him how great He is, now here's my heart. I'm pouring my heart out to you. And you know what we do when we do that? We pray according to God's will. I have to say this about God's will. God's will doesn't mean when we pray to Him and say, if it be your will, it doesn't mean I'm going to bend God's will toward me. I want God to agree with me. That's not what praying if it is with God's will. Praying if it is God's will is this. I'm going to bend my will toward God, and I'm going to submit to God, and whatever His answer is, I'm going to accept, and that's going to be just fine. I'm putting it all in your hands. That's what it means to pray according to God's will. Now, there are things that God wills and determines because He makes it happen. That's God's determined will. Okay? That means that everything that God determines to happen, it will always be accomplished. Always. Then there's God's permissive will. That's what God allows. And there are things in life that God allows, and I don't know why He allows them, but He allows them. That's God's will. He didn't make it happen, but He allowed it. Okay? So that's God's permissive will. When you pray, if it be your will, you're basically saying to God, if you will allow it. That's when you pour our earnest sharing out. That is the supplication part of our prayer. But number three, we pray with thanksgiving. Expression of our appreciation. Now, you know, why would we thank God? And sometimes, you know, we pray for a lot. And all of us, I guess, can be guilty of this from time to time. We don't mean to forget. But sometimes we are long on asking, but we forget to thank Him. So if you ask God for something and you get it, you have to thank Him and give Him credit. I remember when I was sick, and I remember people that prayed for me. I'm so thankful for that. I can't say that medicine cured me. I can say that God used means to cure me. But God gets all the credit. If you ask God for something and you're not going to give Him the credit when you get it, then don't ask Him. If I say, if it be your will, may this happen, Heavenly Father, you can't say, well, it was a coincidence. If I say to God, please allow me to get there safely, and I get there safely, then give God the credit. God did that. It is never wrong to give God the credit. Thanking God. Now, why? He's worthy of His thanks. He's worthy that we do that. Secondary benefit. The secondary benefit is, it's another memory jogger. Remember, Paul's talking about praying when you're stressed out. Secondary benefit. I'm now reminded all the things that God has done in the past for me, and if it's His will, He'll even answer this favorably too. I'm going to tell you what, when you're done praying, you're going to feel better. It works. It works. And every time I get a little out of whack, my wife will say, Tina will say, hey, remember Philippians 4? Remember that? Are you doing that? You're right. Go back to the formula. This is practical and it works. So let's talk about them again quickly. By the way, I got to say one more thing about Thanksgiving, being thankful. I am a words of affirmation guy. I really am. That's my love language, you would say. And one of the greatest things that my kids ever do or did for me, I don't want the present. I don't care about that. What I want them to do is I want them to go get a card. And I want them to write how they feel about me. I want them to say, thank you, Dad, for all that you do for us. I'm going to tell you something.
as long as I've had kids, I keep every one of those cards, and sometimes I just read them again and again. On the other hand, if I've done something for them and they don't thank me, it bothers me a little bit. It bothers me a little. Now, if me, as a fleshly father that's nothing, can be a little bothered by the things that I might do that's not thanked by my children, can you imagine how it is with God when He does big, great stuff and we forget to thank Him? So here's the deal. You're stressed out. You're worried. You got all this problem. You got all this strife. You got all this negative stuff. What does Paul say? Take some time in prayer. How are you going to do it? You're going to begin your prayer by telling God how great He is. He's worthy. He's deserving. Secondary benefit, you realize He's bigger than any problem you could ever have. Number two, you pour your guts out to Him. You pour your heart out to God. You ask Him. You tell Him your needs. You ask Him for things that you're requesting in supplication. And then, but you do it according to His will. And then you do it with thanksgiving, all in the same prayer. Why? Because He's worthy of us thanking Him. And secondly, secondary benefit, it reminds us of all that He's done before. He can do this now if it is His will. I'm going to tell you what. You pray like that, you're going to feel better. And let me just say this too. You're going to feel better even if the answer is no. Even if the problem doesn't go away. The stress and anxiety is going to be better. In fact, Paul says this, such praying will result in a fortress that guards our minds and hearts. It's a peace that guards or garrisons like a fortress our hearts and our minds. All right. Sometimes, and I'm almost finished, sometimes things in life seem worse at first. And then in time, if we're really honest, we find out they really weren't as bad as we once thought, right? Let me tell you an example. This really happened. Believe it or not, this really happened. A number of years ago in the state of Arkansas, a woman by the name of Linda went to visit her relatives. And it was a hot day in Arkansas. She decided to drive down to the local grocery store and get some groceries that they were going to use for later. When Linda pulls into the parking lot, she gets there and steps out of her car and she looks over and thought, man, it's sweltering hot out here. And she looks over and there's another person in the car next to her. Eyes were closed, windows rolled up, car shut off, no ACs blasting. And she's just sitting there with her head back like this. And her hands behind her head, sweating profusely. She thought, well, this is odd, but then she said, and this was the newspaper article, this word for word, well, it is Arkansas. It's weird, but it is Arkansas. And then went inside the store. When she came out, she looked over and she saw this woman still there, hands behind her head. This time her eyes were open. She knocked on the window and says, excuse me, miss, are you okay? She said, no. I've been shot in the head and I'm holding in my brain. Linda panics. Runs into the store, gets the manager. Manager comes out and says, don't worry, I called 911. They'll come and they'll open up the car door and they'll help you. Went with one of them Slim Jims. She was busy. She was busy with her brain. She couldn't unlock the door. Came with a Slim Jim, unlocked the door, opened it up. You know what they found? All over the back of her head was a doughy substance. You see, what really happened, it was a hot day in Arkansas. This woman got in her car. She was tired. She sat back. In the back seat, it was so hot, a Pillsbury dough canister exploded, made a loud noise, flew up, hit her in the head. She put two and two together, came up with five, threw her hands back there and said, oh, I've been shot in the head and my brain's falling out. You'll be happy to hear, as I'm happy to report, she was taken to a nearby hospital where she was treated with the finest shampoo they could find. And no further checkup was required. Sometimes in life, things seem really bad at first, but in time, not quite as bad as we once thought. I'm going to close now with some very specific verses of Scripture. Now remember, Paul's talking about anxiety. The antidote for anxiety is the right kind of praying, but you're not done. Okay? You want to stay on that path? You want to stay on that plane? You're not done. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4. After the right kind of praying, now you're in the right mindset, but look what happens there in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, meditate on these things. You got to change the way you think. You cannot do two diametrically opposite things at the same time. You can't think of the negative and think of the positive at the same time. So what Paul's saying is this: you might have gone to God in prayer and you were all messed up in your head. You pray right. Now you got to change the way you think. So what are you going to think about? Things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. All those things. If there's anything good, you focus on those things. Meditate on those things. Meditate. But you're still not done. The next verse. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. All right. Pray right. And guess what? It'll guard your heart like a fortress. Go think right. All the things that you should be thinking about, think on those things. That's right. And finally, go do that which is right. Practical things that we can do in our life. Pray right, think right, and then go do that which is right. I've preached long enough. I'm done. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I hope something was helpful to you in some way. Like I said before, those passages have become a real practical benefit for me in my life. And every time I get a little mixed up, go back to the pattern. And it works. It really works. I guarantee you this, I at least feel better. All right. Are you here today? You're not a Christian. I don't know how it is. Maybe you're not a child of God yet. Be one today. Come believing in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess His name as the Son of God. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you've taken those steps of obedience, maybe you've drifted away. Maybe things of a public nature need to be corrected. Then repent of those things. Confess those things. We'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive and restore. If be one of you in the class, come forward while we stand and while we sing.